Man and the System, BTI, love them, because we love them.
Live stream!
Because we play what the people want. I don't like. So them a call us pirates. Them a call us elite broadcasters.
Truck horn.
All right, they try and stop us, but they can't. Pirates. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of the Interracial John podcast. So you just heard our unofficial theme song, which is Pirates Anthem by Coco T, Home T, and Shaba Ranks. And we just love that song, and, you know, we just love it.
Poignant.
Yes, it's the best. Love that song. Okay, anyways, so we are coming to you from the suburbs of Philadelphia, and since this is our first podcast, I thought the best thing would be to kind of talk about why we named the podcast Interracial John. So,
you guys.
So the interracial part is pretty easy to explain, but I am one of your hosts at Leslie Mack, and I am a mostly black woman in an interracial relationship with
and at very white guy, because I am a very white guy.
You are very white. It's very true. Very true.
I think you're all black, though.
Oh, thank you.
I think mostly black.
I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you very much. And then, so the interracial part is pretty obvious from our introductions, but the John part is very specific to the wonderful area of Philadelphia. So if you're from the Philly area, shout out Philly.
Fly, Eagles fight. No, you can't break into the Eagles fight song anytime?
You can if you want to, I guess.
That's Philly, yo.
I guess that's Philly. So the word John is a colloquial term heard here in Philadelphia. And really, it literally is one of the best words ever because it means everything.
Anything, John.
Anything. It could be a thing, a person, a place.
An item.
I mean, really.
The best, the quote of the century when the building fell down, it was the Goodwill building.
Right.
In South Philly.
Yes.
And the quote in the newspaper was, the whole John came down.
The whole John came down. That's right.
I wish I had that on tape. If everyone has that on tape, I'd love to see that.
Yes, the whole John came down. So you can say, like, something is a John, or give me that John over there. Ooh, I'm going to go to the John. That's my John. Really, you can use it. It means absolutely
what
anything.
What was the cheesesteak? There was a New York truck, a food truck, and it was a Philly cheesesteak. And it said, like, the Philly cheesesteak John.
Yeah.
Had the word John in it.
Yeah. It's a food truck in New York. It's Philly cheesesteak. I told him that I knew he was really from Philly because he had John on his truck. Because literally nobody outside of Philadelphia knows what the heck John is. So, anyway. So, it is our first podcast. And we hope to have some time once a week, maybe, hopefully. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. If people like it, we like doing it. To talk about pop culture, TV.
Maybe switch those around.
What's that?
If we like doing it and people like it.
And people like it?
Yeah.
We have to like it first?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we have to like it first, apparently. Pop culture, TV, movies, current events, just from the perspective of, the two of us as an interracial couple here in this United States of America. So I guess really, I mean, I don't know. It sucks. This is the first podcast, and this is when we have to be doing it. But, you know, certainly the events in Ferguson are on our minds heavily, as they are with most people. Drew, what have you been, your kind of take on things and your situation with it?
I have to say, it's been interesting. I'll just sum it up in two words, white privilege. And it's an evolution, I think, understanding of white privilege, even for me. And I wrote about it that, you know, I thought I sort of understood, you know, white privilege. I'm really white, like very, very, very white. Like the place I grew up, I think, was the 12th, you know, wealthiest zip code. So I thought I understood.
Yes,
privilege.
Winnetka is like super white.
Sure.
Like, seriously, you guys, I went to a all girls private boarding school in upstate New York, right, for high school. Shout out to Emma Willard and all the Emma chicks out there. Wow. And in my graduating class of 93 students, I think I counted the other day, and it was like 7 or 8 black students, just in my one class. Again, 94 graduates, elite, private boarding school, upstate New York, 8 black women. Drew, how many black people went to your whole high school, and how many people were in the high school, just so I know?
And, you know, probably that number wasn't very large. Couldn't have been in my graduating class, I think it was at least 2,600 students.
Wow.
And I don't know. I don't want to speculate. I have to get like the
granular.
Yeah, I have to really. But I if I was doing the over under on the number of black people in a class of 2,600,
yeah,
it would probably be under five.
Under five.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so I just wanted to give some perspective on just how white Winnetka
it's
is.
Super white. It's super white. It's super white.
It's true.
When people meet, like, oh, did you drive a BMW or a Porsche to school? I was like, oh, F you. But it's kind of, for a lot of folks that I went to school, it's true. I don't mean that in an insulting way, but just. So anyway, the evolution of white privilege. I thought I kind of understood my white privilege and, you know, where I come from it. And I wrote about that incident at the with Health Club. I was like, oh, I don't think that's vegan. So you can read it on the blog. But then even as Ferguson happened, I had a, I don't call it an epiphany, but I guess something in me just sort of snapped. And, you know, whether it's because it was, you know, I had a barbecue, which I'm going to talk about a little later, where my family I'd like to think of, but it's technically...
Well, it's our family.
It's our
but
family.
But it's my side of the family.
Your side of the family.
Right.
Well said. So, you know, a lot of it was, I had some perspective. You know, I did the work at CCOP, the Welcome Center. So I really, you know, I don't want to call it an epiphany, but, and I'm not here to educate. I don't want to talk about that exactly. I think it's going to be tough. But I would just say white privilege, it's an understanding and a continuum. And it's tough. People don't like to hear that word. Like, I didn't ask for it. Like, well, you know, boo-hoo, you have it. But two pieces, I think, if someone's not understanding white privilege, I think it was How to Explain White Privilege to a Broke White Person. It was an article, probably a bunch of different places. But
we'll post that. We'll post that with the podcast link.
Okay,
that's
a good
there.
One. Yeah. And then if you've gotten to that point, you at least understand that, and you're ready to understand more. I think the article and the
I just want to be clear. This is white people you're talking to?
Yeah,
right?
Oh yeah. White
okay,
people.
Good. Okay.
This is not for
good.
White people.
I just was clarifying.
Well, I'm talking about
who's supposed to be reading these.
I guess what I'm saying is the evolution of white privilege. You can have sort of an understanding of it, but really, even though I have an understanding of white privilege, I sometimes will fail to see where it taints my objectivity and ability in certain instances. Like
just because it's like very. Like,
oh, it's so pervasive.
It's pervasive.
It's
right,
not even.
Right.
It's like, you know. It's like the atmosphere. It's
right.
Like, you breathe it in. It's
right.
It's all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know. But like I said, for white people, if you're trying to have an understanding, that's a good article. How to Explain White Privilege to Broke White People. That's for your like if you're on the continuum and you're at the part where like I didn't ask for it. I didn't want this white privilege. I don't have white privilege. I worked really hard. If you're at that point, read.
I don't think any white people talk like that.
Though. I'm making examples.
That sounds like a pirate.
I was opening theme music. I went to the pirate radio. But if you're at that point, read How to Explain White Google or find, and we'll post the link, White Privilege for Broke White People.
Okay.
Then if you're a little bit further along. Mm.
This is like more evolved white people? Like
more that? Evolved in your understanding of your own white privilege.
Okay, I see.
And now you're ready to maybe, you know, have a thought or a discussion about perhaps not just your own, you know, involvement, but now maybe continued complicity, inadvertently, whatever. How, you know what I mean? Like just a little bit more. But the Atlantic article on reparations, it's long, but it's a very good piece.
Who wrote that?
You know, I have to look it up. I can't remember.
Let's see.
The gentleman's name.
Okay. Well, anyway, so why should they be reading that?
Just because I think that's more for the, you know, on that evolutionary scale or whatever you want to call it, the continuum of you know, the let's call it like the white privilege evolution. You make like a little graph for it. It would have now people are saying, wow, that was, you know, slavery had nothing to do with it. That was a long time ago. And the Case for Reparations article, and it's by Ta-Nehisi Coates, it's really, it lays out in linear detail just what has happened to people of color, you know, systemically and recently. You know, people talk about, I don't know, Medicaid and welfare, whatever. I mean, Medicaid, when it started, I think it was 35, I have to look at my facts, someone can fact check me, but it excluded people of color in large numbers. They weren't even a part of that new deal that everyone's so wonderful about. You know,
but what does this have to do with Ferguson, Chief?
So what
has
your
experience?
I think it just, it shows that as a whole, I feel white people are so unwilling, and I called that article White Privilege Myopia, just so unwilling to address and talk about it that they can't even, you know, they can't have a conversation. You can't come to a table and have a dialogue. The fringe element in that movement, you know, call it left, right, whatever you want to call it, it's just you can't have a dialogue with some of those folks. And I think that white privilege allows that element to continue. And it's like okay that that element is there, and it's not, you know. But so for me, it was, and I, so I guess what did I learn? This is good. I'll say for just from my perspective, and I'll put my own self on blast. I got fired up. I was, you know, really angry, and there was Leslie's all this work with NMOS, and we can talk about other things. And at one point, Leslie was like, "Wow, just, you know, I don't know why you're so mad and what's going on." I said, "You know, I don't know," and I couldn't quite explain it. And at some point, she didn't quite come right out to like to this degree. It didn't come to like here. Thankfully, I think it would have been a very dark day in our marriage if it came to this point. But it was almost like, oh my God, Drew, congratulations, you figured it out. You're gonna, you know, you're angry about it, and you know now you're gonna be able to do something about it. Your white privilege is so amazing and so great. Now that you're mad about it, now this, you know, 400 years of oppression is gonna turn out because Drew's concerned about it. It didn't come to that, but I was like, you know, I didn't even see you right. Like I'm really coming from a stance of white privilege. I'm angry about this, so now I'm feeling like everyone should be angry about it. It's a very, again, part of my own evolution of white privilege. So.
But that reminds me, I actually have something to play right now. This will be relevant right now. Here we go.
No, you freaking didn't.
So again, I don't know if you recognize that, guys, but that's the more you know music from NBC. Let's play it again. Let's just like replay it, just so you know we have it playing again. Here we go. Oh yeah, so that. I think this is our first episode, so here we are with our first The More Drew Knows moment right here. The More Drew Knows. So that's it. Let's give a round of applause here, everybody. Drew has realized that his white privilege taints everything that is going on around him. It just is what it is. Mm. It's happening. It's real.
White privilege.
It's real, people.
I think that should be, I don't want to say that should be it. It's obviously a lot more.
It is a lot more. There's a lot to it, but
that's
okay.
Heavy. It's heavy. I don't know if I'm ready to be heavy on podcast.
It's heavy,
one.
And but I do appreciate your thoughts, and we'll definitely put the links to those two articles that you mentioned. They are both very good articles. And also on the interracialjohn.com, you'll see a couple of blog posts from both Drew and I about Ferguson and some thoughts that we have had over the last 14 days. All right. Anyway, so I also like to just mention like why we even started doing a podcast, like just period in general.
Yeah.
We, you know, kind of started just doing listening to podcasts. We have a ton of podcasts we listen to on almost, you know, regular basis whenever they come out. We listen to This American Life, which we love, hosted by Eric Glass. We listen to This Week in Blackness, The Twib Nation, Elon James Station, and we listen to The Read with Kid Fury and Crystal. We listen to the Black Girl Nerds podcast with Black Girl Nerd herself, Jamie. And various people she has on that show. But our number one inspiration for even doing the show ever is The Black Guy Who Tips with Rod and Karen, who are so amazing. If you guys aren't listening to them already, you need to, if you can, become a premium member. They're amazing. So funny. So I just said to Drew, because we literally listen to them probably five to seven times a week, that we will for sure each podcast, however many times we end up doing this, just stand real quick for The Black Guy Who Tips, and so it's theblackguywhotips.com. And this week they had the episode called Country Grammar, where they went in depth on your boy. I'll say your boy because he's not my boy.
No, he's not. I don't like Nelly.
Well, he's not my boy. So.
He's Midwest, but
he's
got to
be somebody's boy. He's not mine. Anyway, somebody's boy, Nelly, went to Ferguson and gave he gave a speech. I'll just say that. He showed up and he gave a speech. So, anyway, if I was going to point you to an episode to listen to from this week from the Black Guy Who Tips, it would be the Country Grammar episode.
Real hilarious.
I've listened to it like 3 times already. I could listen to it right now. It's so funny.
It kills me. He's doing that.
It's so funny.
They're making fun of him the whole time. And like, and I'll just, maybe I should, again, from the white perspective, I feel like sometimes, like, I can't really, I'm not trying to co-opt it. That's not my experience. But it makes me laugh because it's hilarious. But I couldn't really make those jokes as a white guy. Because
they wouldn't be your jokes.
It wouldn't
to make.
Be my jokes to make. No. But they're absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
Nelly, and when he got done, just
don't do their bits.
No, no, no. But the piece where he played the, what was it, the...
But that ruins it.
That ruins it.
Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. That's not standing. That's ruining stuff. Yeah, spoiler alert. Don't do
that. Don't do that.
No. Anyways, so if you want to actually hear the punchline and see and laugh yourself, and want to, you know, watch slash listen to it a couple times because it's that funny. It's the Black Guy Who Tips country grammar episode, which was this week. Can't recommend it enough. Okay, cool. So it's kind of slow. This,
although, you know, you said cool, but we. You didn't go really in depth.
About
really,
what?
About why we stand for Rod and Karen. What we,
I mean, I stand for them so hard because they're just a loving, wonderful couple. They are so just insightful and funny and genuine. And oh, and also, most importantly, we are the official interracial couple.
See, now that's what I was talking about. I don't know if that was like a...
What?
The, well, like, I guess my standing style and my Twitter style. Like, I know people get new to Twitter and they kind of go like, oh,
not people, certainly you.
Certainly me.
Yeah.
And I would say that, like,
Jesus,
my standing style is more like I think it was the CEO of Google said, the goal is to get right to that creepy line and not cross it. So I think my goal is to cross it and then apologize and step back.
After.
Yeah,
but that's not my standing.
I'm not saying I wanted to do that. I'm saying it was unintentional.
My standing style is more to just, like, you know, get more people to watch the show. That's my stance.
That's a good thing.
That's my stance.
I'm saying we like first it was like we're tweeting them like, hey, we're driving through North Carolina.
Well,
Bengals.
They recommended a restaurant.
I understand, but that's like so. Like I'm just saying, look at it from their perspective, right? Okay, I'm just gonna.
Why are you even looking at it from their?
I'm
perspective?
Not saying, but like first
they can say their own perspective.
I'm saying first you tweet them, and then we're on the talk show, and now we're standing on a podcast. I'm just saying, I'm like, I hope they don't know our real address.
That's what you think, Ryan?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I hope they don't
got
that.
Well, we'll see. Well, if they listen to this, hey, Ron and Karen, if you're listening, maybe they will think we're totally creepy. We're not, though.
I don't know. That's like, what was the scene in End of the World where he's talking about rape? Nobody's talking about rape. Nobody said rape. You said rape. Why'd you bring up rape? Why you bring up creepy?
Was
there talking about creepy? This is the end?
This is the end, right. Why'd you mention rape on our podcast the first time? Nobody's been talking about that. All right. Moving on.
That's a good segue.
Great segue. We're really getting things going now. So we hope to talk about, you know, TVs, movie, music, all that kind of stuff. It's kind of crappy on TV right now. Stuff's
summer.
Ending. Ugh, thank God. True Blood is ending. Praise God.
Is there one episode left?
Yes.
Tonight? This is it?
Yes.
Tonight's the last episode.
Tonight is it.
It's just terrible.
It's
horrible.
So I feel like they asked Ryan Murphy to come direct the last three episodes. Like, what happened to this show? I mean, it's been bad for a while, but I just feel like these last three episodes, like, everything that's ever been true on the show, they just threw to the wayside.
But it's in so many ways. Like, it went from sort of, like, dark and kind of, like,
that's what I mean. It was, like, edgy.
It was a whole application
to current day.
Honestly, like, at some point, vampires went from, like, impenetrable, impossible to, like, just shoot them. Like, now they just blow up. I don't know if people know True Blood, like, from the lore. Like, from the beginning of time to now, vampires have gone from, like, borderline, like,
even in the first season,
you couldn't really catch them. It was hard to get them. They had to do all sorts of stuff with silver, and I was just shoot them, just boom, boom.
They've got a little lax on that. They definitely have made the humans got to have it or something. I don't know.
That's because you don't think the vampires are going to win, right? At the end, is it going to be like a vampire success story?
I don't know. I mean, I guess not. It's supposed to be about Sookie or whatever the hell her name is. Mm-hmm. But anyways, we're not even talking about that because it's stupid. My point was in mentioning it was that that's the kind of crap that's on TV right now. But we are in luck that one amazing show is on, which is Outlander, and it's an adaptation. It's on Stars, which is the first show I've ever watched.
I've never watched any on Stars.
No,
they have some, either. Did they do that?
I think they have like
50 Cent one.
No,
Power on Stars.
Is that Stars? Maybe. I know a lot of black people watching that.
Yeah, they renewed it.
I'm not watching that.
They're not watching it.
In fact, you know what's funny? Somebody, my friend Carl, shout out to Carl Marr. How you doing, Carl? He sent me this article about some report about shows that black people watch, and he and I were comparing like Ticks, and neither of us watched like any of the shows. He was
you mean by like percentage of Nielsen point.
Yeah. Like you know, just like maybe I don't know.
And what you're mentioning because Power was in like it was high.
It
up
was
there.
Like not only was it so high, but like 97% of its audience is black people. So
really?
I was like,
that's good that it renewed.
I guess apparently that was the point of it.
You know, and I don't know if this is like, you know, we might have to edit this out if this is really inappropriate. I apologize, but like a lot of the stuff that seems to be aimed at the black audience it's like, I don't want to say like soap opera, but like all the, and I know you watch a bunch of them, but were those up there like the, I don't think they get the big audiences, the
what?
Love and Hip Hop and, you know, the.
Well, I feel like a lot of people are watching those crappy shows just because it's like, you know.
I thought you could pull up the Nielsen ratings for like.
No, I mean, this thing was very specific. Also, maybe I will talk about it another episode. Mm-hmm. But anyways, that's irrelevant. The point is, Outlander is on
awesome.
Stars, and it is based on a series of books by Diana Gelson.
Stop.
What?
Books.
They are books.
Books.
Look.
Bricks.
Look.
Those are not books.
Don't hate.
I'm not hating. I'm
don't
just
hate,
saying
don't
is,
hate.
They're tomes. Call it something
I mean,
else.
That's
tones.
Fine, but some of us like to get involved. In
I know, but if you're going to tell people about it,
I'm not talking about the books. I'm talking about this
right.
TV show. So
they're like 1,000, like 1,200 pages.
So what?
We're going to get the most recent one, and it was 44 hours unabridged
audiobook.
Well,
we were going on a trip.
44 hours. 44 hours unabridged audiobook.
Anyway. I digress. No, but anyway, so the show is really good, though.
It's a good show.
It's basically the first book. They're putting it on the show. It comes on Saturday nights. It comes on Saturday nights at 9 p.m. on Stars. Like, I love it. It has a female heroine. She's very strong. The basic setup of the show is that this woman from the 1940s, the war has just ended. She's on vacation in Scotland with her husband. They're British. And she gets drawn to these ruins, and she gets pulled back in time to the 1700s. And she meets this guy, Jamie. That's really all that you need to know is that she gets pulled back in time. And it's about her in this time.
They do the show well, though.
Yeah,
it's
do it really well. It's
value.
Really, like I said, it's great. It has a female lead that's super strong, very about herself. And also, it's a really interesting take on kind of like show. It's a period piece, yes, but when you have somebody with a modern sensibility in this environment, it's interesting. And she's a nurse, so she has a lot more knowledge than all of these people. Not just historically, but also technically. So it's good. It's been. I think they've done
a great job. It's a good heroine, but it's almost a shame you had to put her back in time to get rid of it. As a woman, right? Like as a woman character. To,
oh, you mean
to,
like, believably?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Unbelievably, she had to go back in time to be smarter and better than
that's funny.
Than men.
Than
you know?
Men. Yeah. Well, she's smarter than everybody in present time too. But anyways, I highly recommend it. Also, a rare show that I think that the average, I'll put quotes around that because I don't know what that means anymore. But I feel like couples could really enjoy it together. It's got a lot of action in it. The male lead is
well, they're
awesome.
Calling it like the woman's Game of Thrones a little bit,
right?
Like that's the I would say that's a marketing tagline, but I think that's sort of the assumptive sort of tagline is this sort of a female version of Game of Thrones. So it's good. I like it.
Yeah, it is really good. So we highly recommend that. We've been enjoying it. I don't know if we want to like recap it. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure about
I'm
that.
Not, but I don't know about recapping it. But anyways, I'm just saying we like it a lot and it's good. There's always like great like sex scenes and the guy who's in it's hot and it's great.
You like
Jamie?
Yeah. Jamie. Redheaded.
Redhead, I don't know. Well, I like Scottish guys.
It's you know what I'd say it's a moment in history for redheaded people.
Yes, this is.
I don't want to use the G word.
Ginger.
Oh, you said it.
You can't say ginger?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't want to be.
I'm not a redhead. So
you're not
I don't say it like in a bad way. I thought like ginger.
That,
ginger
like,
man?
I don't know, but the R word, right? You can't say the R, like.
But you can't say the R word. But what's that got to do with ginger?
I don't know. I'm just trying to be.
Well, I don't know. I didn't know
ginger.
There was a G. All right,
so it's a moment for gingers. All right.
So anyway, so the next thing that I just wanted to mention was like I was looking on TV Guide like what's new tonight, like I don't know earlier this week, and it said let me just pull up the description. It said R&B opera rebellious soul musical, directed by Idris Elba, starring K. Michelle. Now I read this twice to you out loud.
You did.
I read
it. It was the first thing I said. Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Like
first of all,
the,
Idris
like the
Elba.
Dude from with the
Luther?
Sword. Yeah, Luther.
What's he doing? Was he directing this? And then K. Michelle? VH1, what is going on over there? Now, I have no idea what this thing is. I haven't seen it or anything. I have the trailer pulled up so we can watch it and just watch it and just watch it in general, talk about it. But there were so many things wrong about the sentence, like R&B opera, something's wrong there. Rebellious soul musical, mm-mm. Directed by Idris Elba, why?
Yeah, I don't
and
that,
then but... finally, starring...
K. Michelle.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know about all that. Anyways, this is the trailer, so let's just watch the trailer. Maybe it'll tell us what it's about. Let's see.
My life, this is my life.
Tuesday, August 19th.
right.
The world's exclusive premiere of K. Michelle's stunning debut musical.
How stunning. This is like a Tyler Perry play. What? Splice with a music video. What is the lighting in
What are
this?
They trying to tell us, though? There's nothing at all.
K. Michelle, the rebellion is so
much at the beginning, I swear there's
okay,
a strip.
Wait a second. What? This is... I'm more confused now than I was before.
It didn't say anything. It didn't say anything at all. Go back to the beginning.
Okay, let me go back. We're going to go back. Let's see.
It literally,
let's just start it here and just see.
It is a stripper pole.
She starts
off
on the pole.
Well, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a story. It's going to be a redemptive story.
Oh, and she starts on the pole.
That's what maybe they're trying to tell us. I don't know.
First of all, this is the most well-clothed
strip
pole I've ever seen
that's a lot of... She got like fishnets,
a whole
tank
top. She's got like stockings, a tank top.
It's also pretty well lit.
It's very well lit. Too well lit. Okay, let's keep going. That's just start of it. That's all they show. Her
life. I felt bad. I wanted to be wrong. I really did.
You're right.
Tuesday, August 19th.
The date. That's good.
Oh, there was another one there. The August 19th. There's a dude watching her from the crowd.
The club.
He looks like, you know, guys, you know, Albie Shore's, like, kind of wannabe singer son who was on a bunch of reality shows a while back. Like, he looks like that guy, but not. He looks like a low-rent video actor, like video music guy you have to star in your video guy. And I guess he's the lead.
I got none of that. My black card ended well before.
It's a world-exclusive premiere.
Exclusive.
Okay, now she's in a bed, and behind her is a giant screen, like a giant TV screen.
It's good staging.
Oh, is that what that is? Okay. Now this is literally just her hands running all over the guy's chest.
The voiceover
guy
didn't even say anything.
There's
he said the date.
To say.
I'm just saying, but there's not even
She's
any
telling you all you need to
all.
Know. Her life. She's telling you. What else you need to know?
All right. Well,
okay, Michelle.
Directed by Idris Elba.
Pause it. Okay, so now she's sitting on a stage with one light bulb on a table, two glasses.
Rose on that one?
Is there a rose in one of them? And then a candle. Why do you need a candle and the light?
Gotta be well lit.
I don't understand. But that don't make no sense staging-wise, why you would have both a light bulb on the table and
that other scene, she had just the thing like that you hang a tie on, the valet, and like a lamp. That was
That's true. That was the bedroom.
It's not exactly.
There was a bed. I mean, I don't know. This just looks like a really bad music video now, this part. Okay, we're going to keep it.
You should play it from the beginning again.
No, we're not going to play the third time.
No, I'm not going to get that much.
Nope. Then she's in a hoodie. Now there's a gun. That was a gun. Uh-oh, there was a gun.
Oh, your soul.
That was a gun.
Well, there's all you got all the... You
and
got
that's
all
we got. Her life, stripper pole.
The date. Idris Elba.
Idris is directing it. There's a bed with a valet. She likes the way his shirt smells, I think. That's
I'm gonna say it's going to start with her, like, down on her luck and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And she's going to meet a guy, and there's going to be some danger, and somebody's going to die. And at the end, she's going to be... singing a song about how great things are.
I want to know two things. I want to know who wrote this travesty.
Yeah, that guy's name's not on it.
That's my first question. I have a feeling K. Michelle.
It's got a lot of names,
because
but
you know why? You know why I have to think that K. Michelle? Because I can't think of anybody making something for K. Michelle. Like, I can't picture that. I don't know. I just can't see it.
No.
I can't be like, ooh, like I wrote this R&B opera. I had K. Michelle in it. Really? K. Michelle, that's who you had in mind, sir? Or ma'am, whoever wrote this?
You gotta be careful. I don't throw too much shade. She is on TV, right?
And?
They got like the Beehive and like.
Don't.
I'm just saying, you don't know what you're doing.
You messing up right now.
Why am I messing up?
Because first of all, don't even mention anything having to do with Beyonce in the same sentence. Nowhere near K. Michelle. I'm not even saying anything about that. I'm just saying, like, no. If your concern is that me trashing K. Michelle, which I'm not even trashing her, I'm just trashing this, whatever this is, musical, opera, R&B, that some under, you know, well-mobilized vocal people are going to come after me. They could come. I don't know what they're called. I don't know the name of her stands. That should tell one thing. Maybe they got a name. If y'all have a name, let me know, K. Michelle fans. I will mention
you just
that
opened up Pandora's.
Did I?
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know.
That's not good.
Why?
I don't know what the K. Michelle stands.
I don't know either. We'll find out. We'll see. K. Michelle stands. Let us know what's the deal. What's your name? What do you call yourselves?
Yeah, you better carry.
I'm not going to give them a name.
You better carry one of them, like, where's my child, like, apps or something.
Why? So people case the K-Mafia?
I don't know. I'm going to put that out there. Okay. If you disappear, the K-Mafia. That's what
they call. I don't want to name them, so let's not be the ones that give them a name. Let's leave that to them. So the only other, like, big thing that happened to us recently was our annual family barbecue where my whole family comes to town. Which is great. We have it once a year, usually a couple weeks before Labor Day, and everybody comes in and stays here in town. And we
just pause. Look. Everybody comes in and stays here. That is I love your family. Ooh. I do. I really, really do. And
they
it pleases.
So you better watch
I know. It pleases me to know that they come and they stay and they feel very comfortable.
Yep.
And we have the means and the space to provide
absolutely.
Them.
Yeah.
I think it's tremendous. I really do.
Love it.
I pick them up. I sit all of them. You're welcome anytime. And I mean it. I really, really do.
True.
But a Saturday barbecue starts generally on a Thursday. And we were lucky it ended on a Sunday, but only by about a half an hour.
Literally. But
and that was a barbecue. And like Christmas, like this last year, Christmas was
but
a Wednesday.
Christmas, you know, we do try to hang out more in Christmas time. People are
that's
off.
True.
People
that's
take
true.
Time
that's
off
true.
And stuff. But the barbecue was great. You know, we had on and off throughout the whole day, probably about 30 people come through. And we had some friends around here and the whole family and some friends, a friend of mine from high school and her family. But it was really fun just having all the kids here. My nephews were here with their daughters and making me feel old and stuff up in here, which I don't appreciate. Some babies having babies. They're
babies
not babies anymore.
Babies.
They're not babies anymore. My nephews are, you know, 26, 28, 30, Christmas 30, I think at this point. Anyway, they're not babies, so I just think of them as such. But it was great seeing all the kids and having them all here. They crack me up, those kids.
Funny.
They are very funny.
If you want to talk about barbecue, we did a lot of people, and we did have a lot of black folk. In our little suburb, which I don't let maybe one or two of the neighbors know, like, don't worry. I know it's going to be like 30
like
black people
30
rolling
black
up in
people
here.
Rolling
it's
through.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Don't get scared.
Don't get upset.
But
not really. But.
Francine though was hilarious.
Oh yeah, my friend
with,
Francine. Hey Francine.
Oh, her kids are a riot.
Oh, her kids are
Jordan
fantastic.
Jordan was cracking me up.
Hey, her son Jordan was like on Drew. They just were inseparable. Every time he needed something, he was like, "Drew, they won't let me play this. Drew, can you make me a sandwich? Drew, I'm thirsty. Drew, my shoe is missing. Drew." It was so cute.
He's a good guy.
He's so cute. I love that kid. He's great. Yeah, but it was great to see everybody and hang out. But most of my family got here Friday night, and I made some dinner and stuff. We were just hanging out while everybody was arriving, and my sister decided, oh, let's do karaoke. That'll be fun, like on the TV. And Drew's like, oh, actually, she asked me first, do I have a microphone?
She asked me a karaoke machine.
No. She asked me if I had a microphone because she could just plug it into whatever,
or the iPad,
whatever she had going on, she
plug
it in. I was like,
no, I do not have a microphone. Although
I said no, because I think it's like specific
it's
for your harmonica, for your amplifier. So I said,
that.
No, we didn't have a microphone. And you said, oh, but we have karaoke on the TV. You can just do the karaoke on the TV. So after everybody ate, we did start going to do karaoke on the TV, and we started, you know, doing some songs. First song, Car Wash. Brilliant. Everybody was singing. Very good.
Line formed.
We let the kids pick the next song. They pick...
I forget what the next song was.
The Cha-Cha Slide.
The Cha-Cha, of course, yeah.
Yes, the Cha-Cha Slide. So there we are. Windows open.
One hop this time.
One hop this time and in my living room. It was hilarious. It was
I got a vine. I vined it.
Oh, yeah. Drew did vine it.
That was
couple
of loops.
It was great.
Someone actually said something really nice, like, oh, that reminds me of family.
It was great. We had a good time. And then Saturday was the actual barbecue. And we ate all day and just hung out. People stayed late. Then Sunday we had brunch and lunch and just hung out. So that was good. It was a good weekend.
Although I will, one of my sister-in-laws, I love her to death, but cooks things. She wants things. Just,
oh, God.
And she's free with it. She's not like,
yes,
there's not,
she
no
likes
shade,
stuff
no
like,
she's like
burned.
Put that bag on the grill. I want that cooked till it's dead.
Yeah,
you know,
she
you really got to cook the crap
it.
Out of
well,
it.
Well,
so I had a bunch of stuff that was, you know, pretty thoroughly cooked. And she's like, no, put it back on. And we overdid a few things, ended up drying up a bit. And Faith wanted to eat another one of the hot dogs. And it was just sitting, and I don't know if it's like a white thing, black thing, but I just threw them on a hotel pan on the side of the grill.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot dog. It's already fully cooked before you even put it on the grill.
Correct.
Like you could really eat it raw. It's bologna in a roll form.
Right.
So Faith wanted one of the hot dogs. And she asked me, I'm like, yeah, you can try the hot dog. And she's like, well, Mommy said they're fly touch. I said, oh, what? You know, I don't want to in trouble with this or that. So I didn't really press the issue. And then you told me later that she said something to you about it.
She did say something to me. It's funny that you say that, but you just cooked her another hot dog.
I just cooked her another hot dog.
Right, but she did say something to me later. Our niece Faith is, she's also our goddaughter. She's, what, going to be 13 this year?
Mm,
yeah, because...
She went into sixth grade?
No. She's going to be 12 this year.
She's 12.
Right? She was born in 2002.
So, no, she'll be 12 this year.
Yeah, so she's going to be 12 this year. And so she came up to me at some point, you know, after clearly this hot dog interaction. She says, Auntie, I just want to know, can you get sick from eating a hot dog that a fly touched? And I said, oh, and then she goes, because my mom said you can.
Right, of course. Because right.
My mom said you can.
You get sick.
Right, you get sick. And so here I am sitting there, like, I don't actually think that, but I'm sure my sister does. And hey, we all can think whatever we want to think. I don't want to be like, no, I don't agree with your mom or whatever. So I was trying to, like, you know, package it so that, you know, she could make her own decisions eventually whenever she needs to make a decision. And my sister could also tell her whatever she wants to tell her. So I just said, well, I don't know for sure, but the fly is pretty small. You're pretty big compared to it. I doubt there's anything that, I don't think there's anything that could really hurt you just because of the size. But don't eat any flies is what I said to her. Just kind of make a joke.
Sorry
about
that. Don't eat flies.
Don't eat flies. So she says,
it's a good rule. Don't eat bugs.
She goes, huh, I don't think it gets you sick because I saw some people eat those hot dogs and they look pretty good to me.
For the whole rest of the weekend, there's literally like covering all the food. Anytime I turn on the barbecue,
really?
There'd be like a dish towel, a couple of like paper plates, some sort of like form of covering over the.
Well, the second day wasn't as big a deal because you were pretty much cooking to order on Sunday because it was way few people.
That's true.
It was like a little bit here, a little bit there. But like at the barbecue, I mean, we went through like 50 hot dogs, whatever.
50 hot dogs, 50 hamburgers.
50 hamburgers. It was a lot of food. Yeah. Anyway, so.
It was a good time. But you know, that fly, you know what that is though, right? You gotta give a shout out to Carl Morgan. That's a black fairy tale.
Oh, that is a black fairy tale. You're right. Oh, that's funny. That is a black fairy tale.
It's a black fairy tale.
We have our friends T and Carl. Shout out to T and Carl. They are friends of ours. They live in Chicago. We get to see them as much as we can. Usually we do a trip in the summer. We get to see them when we do some traveling around. And we jokingly have dubbed them the Black Fairy Tale Tours. So we get to go around and do some fun stuff and pop some myths open. Last year we went to the Apollo, like Showtime at the Apollo.
That was awesome.
Which was amazing. It was so good. Can't even tell you. I laughed my face off. We booed people. It was fantastic.
You know, I was surprised, though, at the Apollo, the two girls behind us were just so eager to boo
those
everything.
Those girls
they
behind
were,
us
they were drunk.
They were
booing kids.
They booed
everything.
Everybody. Like, the guy was like, don't boo the kids. You know, they're just going to come see you. They were booing everybody. They came to boo.
They came to boo. I think they went to see the guy dance.
No, I just think that it's a rare... I will say this. I don't know anywhere else you go where they, like, encourage you to, like, heckle the performer.
You think they were just ready to boo?
Where you have a carte
blanche. They came with the boo and the purse packed ready to go?
Yes. They came to boo, and they were going to boo.
Boo!
Boo!
As soon as anybody came
boo!
Up.
They were booing.
It's
it was
child.
Fantastic.
As a child.
It was a child.
They did.
I really was like, come on. That's a child up there. His mom is sitting next to you or something.
It was a good barbecue. It was a good barbecue.
Great to
I don't know
see
how much time you got to spend with everybody, but I was glad.
I got to spend quite a bit of time. I dragged my sisters to Zumba with me one morning at the gym.
About that.
That was great.
I think we were bridging, you know, in our own little way, hearts and minds, you know.
Where? Right now?
No, at the barbecue.
The barbecue.
Because I got your family, and not that this is my sort of necessarily heritage, but we drank moonshine.
That's not your heritage at all. You're from Chicago.
No, I know. I'm just saying, but it was...
What's that got to do with bridging stuff?
So. Like white and black coming together.
Dude, that's
moonshine.
Alcohol. They would have drank anything you pulled out at that point. We were all just like ready to drink.
Hunch punch.
Yeah, okay.
Had a little sippy on it.
Well, we'll have to talk about Gatlinburg another time, I think. That would be... That maybe episode 23.
23?
Might take a while to work up to that.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's just because it's long. It's not going to be like a short, you know, bit.
Mm.
We took a vacation to Gatlinburg, Tennessee recently. But, yeah, maybe another show we can talk about that.
All right.
We have some time. Anyways, that's it for episode one, man.
It's a John podcast.
It's in the bag. Look at this.
Nicely done, babe.
Well, hopefully people will like it and... We'll put those links that we mentioned in the description. And thanks for listening.
Thanks.